For those of you listening to this recording, unfortunately, last Sunday I ran out of power in my recorder, so I only have about 12 minutes recorded, so I'm recording the rest of the sermon. In order to really kind of follow along here, it'd be a good idea to have the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint's available at the church website, mercedchurch.com, or at my website, evidenceforchristianity.com. So, I'm talking about the introduction, talking about the background. And so now we're going to go into Deuteronomy chapter 1. But before we do that, I want to go back to Numbers 14, 20 through 24 to get a little bit of the context of what's going on here in Deuteronomy 1. Remember, essentially, the end of Numbers and the beginning of Deuteronomy makes a fairly continuous story. Numbers 14, 20 through 24. Again, background. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them, speaking of the Jews who had rebelled and basically been unfaithful and unwilling to take the promised land that God had told them to take. I've forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed, in this case, by not going up when he told them to, me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who's treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb had a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'll bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So you see that the context is that first generation, specifically the soldiers 20 and over, who had crossed the Red Sea, had seen the miracles God had done, had been at Sinai or Horeb when the law was given, that all of them had died and their bodies were scattered across the desert, the exception being Caleb, and as we'll see in a bit, also Joshua. And because they were not willing to go up when God told them to, God said, they treated him with contempt. That's something for us to think about. Have you, disciple of Jesus, have you treated God with contempt? How? By not being willing to trust him, not being willing to step out on faith and be involved in the mission that he's given you to do. If you do not, as we see in Hebrews chapter 3, and as is specified here in Numbers 14, you will never enter his rest. Pretty solemn beginning to our lesson, but honestly, that's the background to Deuteronomy 1 as we're the next generation gathering in the northern end of Moab near the territory conquered from Sihon, looking out over the promised land. These guys noticed they made it right to the border, the people in Numbers 14. They had been at Horeb. They had wandered and they came right to the edge of the promised land, and yet they shrunk back. Now, the context here as we go into Deuteronomy chapter 1, it's been 40 years since that event. God has tested them, he's refined them, and the second generation, they're prepared to enter. God's plan is being fulfilled. Remember, in Deuteronomy, material is given through law, through story, and through exhortation. So the story is very important. As we begin this book of Deuteronomy, the people of God are in a precarious situation. They're no longer in the wilderness, but they're also not yet in the promised land, and that's not a place you want to stay very long. I'm telling you, the book of Deuteronomy is so relevant to us as disciples today. In fact, it's roughly my third favorite book in the Old Testament after Daniel and Genesis. So let's read Deuteronomy 1, 1 through 5. What we're going to do is we're going to first have a very brief, here's where we're at. Then we're going to have a fairly extended look back, starting in verse 6, and then we'll come up to the present in our sermon. Okay, Deuteronomy 1, 1 through 5. Let's read that together. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel in the wilderness east of the Jordan, that is, in the Arabah. That would be the desert highland east of the Dead Sea, where Moab and Sihon's area were, the Amalekites. Opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. Takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea by the Mount Seir road. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, so Moses is putting a very definite time stamp on when these lessons taught by Moses and Deuteronomy are happening. The 11th month of the 40th year after exiting Egypt. Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all the Lord had commanded him concerning them. This was after he defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, and Edrei had defeated Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. Again, that's reminding what we already know, which recently they defeated these people sort of east of the Jordan River and already conquered part of what would become the Promised Land. East of the Jordan, in the territory of Moab, Moses began to expound this law, saying. So that's our setting. Got it? We now know where we are. All right, so now let's take a trip into the past. So we're going to read Deuteronomy 1, 6 through 8, and we're going to follow up with some other verses in Deuteronomy 1. But now we're rewinding the tape 40 years, and God is going to remind them of some of their bad past, as well as some of their good past. 6 through 8. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I've given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." So here, is giving the backstory. He's referring there in verse 8 to the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That promise was to give them this land. All right? So here, back at Kadesh Barnea, 40 years before the actual story of Deuteronomy, God is saying to them, "Look, people of God, break camp and advance." And what a great scripture for us. Here it is, about 2 weeks before we start our fall semester. And honestly, the last couple of few weeks, we've been resting a little bit, which is not necessarily bad, regaining our strength. We went to the ICMC. We went to the Christian Jubilee. Right now, we're not even up on campus sharing our faith. And we're making plans for the awesome stuff that God is going to do in Merced in the fall. But there's going to come a time, in about 2 weeks from now, where God's going to say to us here in Merced, "It's time to break camp and advance." And guess what? When God says to break camp and advance, what you need to do is break camp and advance. And God says to them, "I've given you this land. I've given you UC Merced. I've given you Merced College. I've given you the city of Merced. I've given you Atwater. So it's time to go up and take possession of it." And Moses is reminding them of the big picture. The big picture, this is what was promised. And this was what God had already begun to do when he miraculously took them out of Egypt across the Red Sea and gave them the law at Sinai. Now let's see another part of the preparation here, starting in verse 9. Bottom line is they're not quite ready because they need some leaders. All right? "At that time I said to you," this is 40 years ago now, "you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. The Lord your God has increased your numbers so that today you are as numerous as the stars of the sky. May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he's promised. But how can I bear your problems and your burdens and your disputes all by myself? Choose some wise, understanding, respected men from each of your tribes, and I will set them over you. You answered me, what you propose to do is good. So I took the leading men of your tribes, wise and respected men, appointed them to have authority over you as commanders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens, and as tribal officials. And I charged your judges at that time, hear disputes between your people and judge fairly whether the case is between two Israelites or between an Israelite and a foreigner residing among you. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of anyone, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too hard for you, and I will hear it. And at that time, I told you everything you were to do. So, I think this is an appropriate thing for us as well. The bottom line is, Alani, who did a great job of leading the women along with Jan, has gone back to San Diego. This coming Wednesday, Malcolm is flying back to Indiana. And we got a growing church, and some leaders need to raise up. So Moses chooses wise men. I believe for us men and women is completely appropriate. So God is saying to us, Stephanie, you need to set up some meeting places for our events on campus. Josh, you need to get out there and share your faith in Atwater and bring some visitors and get things going on Merced College. And Pierce, you need to talk to all the students in your class. And Manny and Sandy, you need to be feeding the troops, taking care of them. Katie and Michael, you need to set up a mobile field hospital to take care of those who experience a setback in this campaign to take Merced for Christ. So we need to set up some leaders, and they need to be fair. Like he said, they need to treat those who are bigwigs in the church and those who are not equally, some stuff like that. So be prepared for us to call you to step up. Kevin, to lead a new Bible talk. Michael, maybe to start a new ministry, whatever it's going to be. All right? Now, let's see how they did. So God called them to go, and starting in verse 19, we're going to see how this campaign went, at least in the phase of 40 years ago. Pretty sad story, as we'll see. It's a long reading, so bear with me. Then as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb, went towards the hill country of the Amorites through all that vast and dreadful wilderness that you had seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. That's that 11 days. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given you. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you to do. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Message for us. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. Now this seems wise. It seems sort of common sense. A question that I ask as I read Deuteronomy, is this something God wanted them to do or something God didn't want them to do? My answer is, I'm not sure, but God basically said, look, I've given you the land, go up and take it. And I think what they should have done is they should have gone up and taken it and trusted God. So Moses, verse 22, then 23, the idea seemed good to me, that is Moses, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshel and explored it, taking with them some of the fruit of the land. They brought it down to us and reported, it's a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. But here's the bad news. Despite the fact that I said, go and take this land, and despite the fact that I said, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. The campus is not open. People aren't going to listen. It's going to be hard, right? It's going to be discouraging. People are going to leave the church, etc. With walls up to the sky, we even saw the Anakites there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. This is Moses. The Lord your God is going to go before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this word from Moses, you did not trust in the Lord your God who went ahead of you in your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and he solemnly swore, as we already saw in Numbers 14, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his foot on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me, Moses, also, and said, you shall not enter it either, but your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him because he will lead its Israel to inherit it. The little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, that's the audience of this sermon, they will enter the land. I'll give it to them and they will take possession of it. But as for you, earlier generation, and Moses, turn around, set out towards the desert along the route to the Red Sea. Then he replied, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight as the Lord our God commanded us. So every one of you put on his weapons, thinking it easy to go up into the hill country. But the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up and fight because I will not be with you. You will be defeated by your enemies. So I told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command. And in your arrogance, you marched up into the hill country. The Amorites who lived in those hills came out against you. They chased you like a swarm of bees and beat you down from Seir all the way to Hormah. You came back and wept before the Lord, but he paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you. And so you stayed in Kadesh Barnea many days, all the time you spent there. Kind of a sad story. What do we see here? First of all, we see in verse 26 to 28, when God says to go up, we need to go up. But never let us say, no, I'm not going to go up. If God is calling you to his mission field, if God is calling you to do a work for him, please, please, please don't do what these guys did. Don't chicken out, if you will. Don't come up with excuses. Why should they be confident, right? Remember he said, He said, do not be afraid. Let me see. Yeah, it says, see, the Lord your God has given you the land, verse 21. Go up and take possession of it. As the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Why should we not be discouraged and afraid as we start a new semester and God calls us to go up and take this land? Because God is going to be with us. God is going to be with us. And it's his plan. It's what he told us to do. Have you ever said no to God when he said, let's go up and take it? By the way, when I asked that, a few people raised their hands because honestly, those of us who've been Christians for a few years, there's been times when God called us into his mission field and we said no. We're told to take the land and we've been promised that the land is ours. As we take the land in Merced, let us remember that it is a command And this is one of the points I made in the sermon. I want us to pay attention to this. Taking the land is both a command and a promise. Let me say that again. The taking of the land, the taking of the promised land, is both a command and a promise. So God is calling us to do this, to preach the gospel, to bring God's healing ministry, the things we're doing here as a church. He's commanding us to do it, but he's also promising us that we can and we will do it. And having that promise should give us courage to complete the command. Got that? And that's why I believe even the setting out of spies to sort of check out the land was really an evidence of lack of faith. I don't think it was totally sinful. The totally sinful thing was that, and then to turn around and not enter the land. And one thing that I learned from this lesson is, you know what? They refused to go and they refused to enter, and God was angry at his people. But in the end, God forgave his people. God had mercy on his people, and he sent the next generation in, and they took the land. So although this section, Deuteronomy 1, 19 through 46, is a sad story about some people who chose not to have faith in God, to not go up, and to fear and to look at the world rather than the things of God. Nevertheless, it's also a story to me of God being merciful and patient with his people. It's also a story of when God makes a promise, he fulfills it. Because he forgave them and he allowed the second generation to go up, and the promise was fulfilled. But it's also a story about how we should be very cautious about saying no to God. Because that generation that said no, like we saw here in this story, their bodies fell in the desert. Why should we be confident? Verse 30? Because God is going before them. He's preparing the way, like he had already done as they left Egypt. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy, theology is taught primarily through story. We learn about God through what he has done for his people. In verse 34, God is definitely not happy. He was angry with them because they said they wouldn't go up. Right? In fact, in verse 37, we learn that God is also angry with Moses. Now, what we don't see here is that one of the reasons God was angry with Moses is earlier in Numbers, when God had told him to speak to the rock, Moses was angry and he struck the rock. At that time, God told Moses that he was not going to be able to enter. Now, he was going to be able to see the promised land, as we'll see a little bit later in the sermon, but he's not going to be able to enter. But God is preparing the way. And even just yesterday, we're at the park, and I can see God setting it up. He's setting us up for victory. So we're there at the park. This guy named Colleen, who we'd never met, from Atwater, happens to be from Atwater. He happens to be at this somewhat obscure park, all right, what's the name of the town? Anyway, where we're at. And he sees us playing volleyball. He joins us in volleyball. And he told me later, yesterday evening, he told me that he had just this week had been praying for God to send somebody into his life because he wanted to seek a relationship with God. So here's this teenager who is in Snelling for reasons I can't quite figure out. And we meet him, and now he wants to study the Bible, and he wants to essentially join us. Let's be praying for Colleen. But again, I see God working. I see God going before us. All right. So anyway, and then in verse 41 and 42 of Deuteronomy 1, the people say, all right, fine. So you're angry at us, God, because we refused to do what you said. All right, fine. So we're going to go. And God says, no, I am not going to be with you. So don't go. But pridefully say, well, we're going to go anyway, and we know what happens there. So if God is going before us, we should be confident of victory. But if it's not God's will for us to do something, and we go ahead and do it anyway, well, you can kind of predict how that's going to go. So God was no longer with them and defeat was inevitable. Now what we're going to do here was we're going to skip Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 1 all the way through Deuteronomy 3 verse 20. Here it's going to be recalling some of the events that we already saw in the book of Numbers. The first generation leaving Kadesh Barnea there in the desert, wandering for 40 years, coming back towards the promised land, passing around Edom and around Moab because God told them, no, they're not going to conquer those places. And then they come to the northern part of the Dead Sea, and there they conquer Sihon of the Amalekites, and also Og of Bashan, and they conquer the territory east of the Jordan, and there they settle Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to take the lands east of the Jordan. And God tells them, look, that's fine, it's great, you've got your inheritance, but the soldiers of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, they need to come with us because we're going to enter the promised land. So we're going to skip that section. So now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting in verse 21. And here our sort of look into the past is done. Now we're up to the present. So when we read Deuteronomy 3:21, we're kind of back where we were in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, which is in the present day. So let's see what's happening. Starting at verse 21. Oops, get my PowerPoint going here. Confidence, right? All right, we're skipping Deuteronomy 2:1 through 3:20. If you look on the PowerPoint, you can see the area, Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh that have been conquered already. All right, there we go. Deuteronomy 3:21. Through 29. At that time, I commanded Joshua, you've seen with your own eyes all the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there on the other side of the Jordan. By the way, if you're in the PowerPoint, you're looking from Mount Nebo, which may also be Mount Pisgah. This can be mentioned here. And there, God sends Moses to look out over the promised land. So, by the way, I've actually been in Mount Nebo, and when you're on Mount Nebo, you can see the northern end of the Dead Sea there. And beyond the northern end of the Dead Sea, you can see the Promised Land. In fact, although it's too small to see and you have to squint a little bit, basically you're looking at the mountains where Jerusalem is. So here, Moses is looking out over the Promised Land, the land that he himself will not enter. Okay, got it? Do not be afraid of them, God says in verse 22. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. At that time, I plead with the Lord. Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and mighty works you do? Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country in Lebanon. God's going to say, nope, sorry, Moses. But because of you, God's sort of blame-shifting to the Israelites. Because of you, the Lord was angry with me, and he would not listen to me. That's enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross the Jordan. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across the and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. So he stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. So here God is saying to Moses, I'm sorry, no, because of the disobedience of the people, and also because of your disobedience in the wilderness. You can see the land, but you're not going to enter. All right? But here again, for the second or maybe the third time, God is telling us, do not be afraid. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to be with you. And God has put fear into the Moabites, the Edomites, and all the peoples of Canaan. He set it up for us. He's prepared the way. All right. So now, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, that's where the book of Deuteronomy, in a sense, really starts. Because here, Moses has completed his sort of introductory remarks, and now he's going to go into his sermon. So we're going to see all these exhortations. So what I'm going to do, because we're running out of time here, I'm just going to read a very brief sort of first section of Deuteronomy 4. So the context now is, here are the people. We're on the upper, the uplands east of the Dead Sea. We're looking out over the promised land that God is giving to us. And Deuteronomy is kind of giving his last words to his people, his admonitions. And the rest of the book of Deuteronomy is basically words to disciples. All right? So let's read Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 8, just as a bit of an introduction to the next few weeks, what we're going to see in our sermons as they move forward. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you. Do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I gave you, that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you held fast to the Lord your God is still alive today. Again, God is teaching through story. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering, entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all their decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I'm setting before you today? So as we take our first look at Moses' sermon to the people, what's he calling us to think about? He's telling us to pay attention to the law and to the commandments. Pay attention to the scriptures. Don't add to the scriptures. Don't take away from the scriptures. Don't add your opinion to the scriptures. And don't say, well, you know, that was for them, but it's not for us anymore. We need to be Bereans, right? Acts 17, eagerly hear the message preached, but check out the Bible to say what's been said is true. So God is asking us to really, really focus in on the scriptures and do everything that it says. And God says, what a great nation we are, because we're God's people. And what an amazing religion we have. All the other peoples, the gods of the other peoples, expected worship, expected the people to serve them. But our God loves us, is close to us, and wants to bless us. The ancient religion of the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Hurrians, the Akkadians, the Egyptians, all of them have religion where the people's purpose was to serve the gods, to feed them, to offer sacrifices to them. But God, he says here, wants to be close to us. He listens to us when we pray. We have an awesome God. And we have the truth. And he says, if you guys will simply tell people about the scriptures and show the righteous lives you're living, and then the people are going to pay attention to that, going to note that. Do you realize how awesome the God we have is? No other religion is like that. not Hinduism, not Buddhism, not Islam, not atheism, not postmodernism. None of today's philosophies are even close. God wants to make us happy. God will make us wise. He'll make us great people. And people are going to pay attention to that. So that's some thoughts that Moses wants to leave with us as we finish the sermon. God says to follow my decrees and laws carefully, because if we do, we will go in and we'll take possession of the promised land, which is for us Merced. What a great God we have who is near us whenever we pray to him. So in summary, Deuteronomy is a book of law, of story, and exhortation. We're going to spend more time looking at story and exhortation. Up till now, we mainly looked at story. God is going to reveal to himself to us through story. And point number two, it's time to break camp and advance. And when God says to go up and take the land, guess what? We need to go up and take the land. But we need to make wise plans. We need to raise up leaders, not just sort of go haphazardly. But we should have confidence to take the land. Why? Because God is going before us as we enter into this land. And as we do, a final admonition, let us pay very careful attention to the Word of God and to following all the laws and decrees in the Scriptures. So that's our sermon, and we'll have second sermon in Deuteronomy next Sunday.